Hey, Starburns listeners, Ben Schwartz here, and I'm here to plug. Here I go. I am in a new movie with Noelle Wells on Netflix. It is called Happy Anniversary. It is out right now. All you have to do is basically go on your computer or whatever device you want. You just click on it, and there we are. It's me. It's Noelle Wells, and it's the story of a couple on their three-year anniversary. They wake up, and on that moment, Noelle's character is done. She feels like she doesn't think she can take any more of the relationship. And throughout the course of the movie, which takes place in over the course of 24 hours, you flash back to all the good, the bad, everything that encompasses this relationship to try to find out if these two actually will stay together or if they won't stay together. It's right now. It is a romantic comedy. Me and Noelle Wells, written and directed by Jared Stern. Netflix, Happy Anniversary, Starburns, lots of words, ending with exclamation. When's it gonna end? It just did. Another tag, and now it's done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to My Opening Line. I'm Keith and the Girls, Keith Malley.
And I'm Chemda.
We tell you embarrassing stories of performers' first times on stage. Yeah, you look at them now, they're a big deal, sure. But then, what they thought would pass the muster.
Ugh, gross.
Ridiculous.
Vomitous.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest has been on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, MTV, My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Crashing. Ladies and gentlemen, Emma Willman.
What's up?
Hello.
Thank you guys for having me.
I love having you. We, of course, have had you on Keith and the Girl.
Yes.
And I love that you walk in and you're like, here's the crazy shit that happened in my life.
You know, it's just the stuff that happens then just happens to be crazy. So then,
right.
You know.
Right.
It's my version of how you doing? Well, bleh, but.
How you doing? Well, I'm Emma Willman. Here we go.
Things are not okay. No, things are fine.
But good for you. I'm seeing career-wise, they're going well.
Yeah, you know, it's always, there's always so many ups and downs. And then it's like anything that you get that is would be the thing that you then post on Facebook or post, there's so many things that you did not get as part of that, you know?
Do you post that stuff or no?
I don't, you but don't? I always feel like I want to say it when someone says like congrats on something because it's like just to paint the whole picture, there's a lot of things that did not, you know.
I love that, that's what you need to do. Listen, I'm posting this nice thing that I got, but really, life is hard.
Exactly.
I just want to say that. I just want to put it out there that I got 100%. This, but I didn't get seven things. Yeah, that's the spirit, Emma.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's just like the raw truth because like, don't get it twisted. Like,
yeah, I said, congratulations on Crashing. You were great. And she said, oh, yeah, but Godfather Part 4, it wasn't. And other things that weren't include. Do you remember the very first time that you went on stage?
Yes, I do.
And it was stand up, I assume?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the very first time I ever... like that I really recall public speaking was I did student government, but stand-up I remember very well.
And when was this? How long ago?
Okay, so I never watched a comedy as a kid, and the first time I saw stand-up was, it was when I was in college, but I saw it, I think I saw like Dane Cook in his Madison Square Garden show, so it was like a huge...
Oh, wow. Is that what you thought stand-up was?
Yes, but I didn't see it live, but I saw it.
Did you think you have to literally stand up on things, on a stool, on a table?
I was just like shocked by, I was like, wow, this is crazy. It's like a rock concert. And then the first live show I ever saw was Margaret Cho in Boston at the Beacon. She sold it out.
You don't mess around.
And that was, this was just happening. This is just because of what other people I knew were into, but that was like a rock concert too. So I had no idea. You know, stand-up seemed totally, like, not attainable or anything. But I loved doing student government, and I was always, like, kind of the funny one.
Right. I did not expect, but I loved doing government.
I loved student government. I don't know what the hell my role was, and I was always, like, joking around doing it. They'd be like, oh, you're the funny one. That means usually you don't know what's going on, you're a mess, whoa. That's usually, or that's how I think it was interpreted to me.
Does student government teach you to debate?
This one did not. But okay. You usually would have to like debate when you were like running for a particular office. But I ran in college for a position that was like uncontested. I was academic affairs
smart.
Officer. No one wanted that.
You made it up. There wasn't even it.
It was a role. Okay. But I remember seeing on the ballot the year before that. I'm like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, no one does that. It's like you like report back on what the teachers are doing. I was like, I'm running next year. So then I would like report. I would go to these like advisor teacher meetings, and then I would report to the students what the new classes were.
Right.
And I would kind of, I would just make it funny.
I hate the that they teach debate because I see these people now as adults.
It's good.
And they debate that you see these people too, where it's like, pick a side. I can debate anything.
Right.
Like, well, you're just annoying, right? You're an asshole.
You're good at debating.
Sure.
She just called you an asshole.
And I'm the worst. Now, I have my opinions.
That was a bad timing on my part.
But you do have
perfection.
No, you have people that they love to play devil's advocate.
Right.
They jump to, say there's a sexual assault story. They immediately jump to the other person's side.
Just to play devil's advocate.
Yeah. For what? That's the guy that you need to help.
Right.
The devil.
Right.
Okay. You know, as child rapist lawyer, I'd like to say, like, what are you doing?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
And then as a kid and you're learning government, does it translate? Like, do you think you follow more what's going on in real life as an adult?
I haven't been staying up to date on politics, but I think that student
Emma thinks there's a test coming up.
Also, mm-hmm. But also staying up to doing student government stuff totally translate, and politics do translate to comedy. Because it's like words as a product. So you're like, it's like the words. It's not so much about what you say, it's how you say it, you know?
Okay.
That's what I started picking up on.
How many branches are there in the government?
Eight.
Okay, we were going for three.
You were close.
Was eight in any way? Is there eight about anything?
There's like 8 days of Hanukkah.
Wow, that was a real save. On that.
Okay, well, they narrowed it down. I don't know where you went to
I gotta
school.
Bring you with me everywhere. Well, what she meant was, then pull them, yeah.
She's just being all inclusive, please.
Happy Hanukkah, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
So now you take your skills that you learned.
Right, the public speaking, because I would basically address like once a week or a couple times a month a pretty big group of people about what was going on with academic affairs.
Right.
So I knew that I could speak in front of people, and I liked that. But I never really thought about stand-up. I didn't, besides Margaret Cho and Dane Cook, I hadn't seen it. And then I graduated college and I went to this party and I went to go meet a friend of mine. He had a crush on a girl at this party. And while I'm walking down to the party, he's walking up. He goes, she's here with someone else. I want to go. And I was like, oh, I was like, let me just go in and like do a loop and then I'll head out. And when I go in, like as I'm doing that, saying hi to someone else I knew there, there was a girl in the corner. Now, this couldn't have been more opposite from where I saw Margaret Cho and Dane Cook. Right. There's a girl in the corner telling jokes and like no, she didn't have a mic that was working. No one was really listening to her. And I kind of turned. I was like, what is she doing? But I could tell that she was giving a performance. It was just that it was the worst possible setup.
Oh my God. Was it a house party?
It was a house party and it was like in a basement.
Oh.
She was in the corner. There was like a drippy faucet. People are drinking and talking. It was the most brutal circumstance. But I could tell that she was performing. So I was like, what is going on?
When all you can tell is that someone's performing. I can tell she was performing. Oh.
I could tell she was doing something that was trying to be a performance. And I went over and I was like watching her. And I remember she was saying something that was like funny. I was like, oh, that was funny. And right what I thought was funny, someone went, that's offensive. She was talking about the guy who in Silence of the Lambs making a skin suit and how no one would want to make a skin suit out of her. Some kind of thing about that, and someone got offended by it, and then I was kind of like, what is the hell is this? So I went over to her and I was like, what are you doing?
In the middle of her set?
In the middle of her set. I was that
person. Liked it. She liked the back and forth at least.
Yeah. Someone was listening to her. And then she's like, I'm trying to do stand up, but this is like a rough setting. If you want to go see another show, you should check out this place, the Comedy Studio in Boston. I was like, huh. And then when I left, I was like, okay, that makes sense. You can do stand-up really any place that there's people. So
I'll choose Madison Square Garden.
Boom. And it made it all of a sudden seem more accessible. So then I went and watched her a couple times, but I was still like...
Do you remember who she was?
Yeah, Alana...
Glazer.
Alana Eisner.
Okay, close.
Alana Eisner. I did meet Alana Glazer when I very first started stand-up, though. And she was like, she was doing a bar show... And she asked if I went to a lot of like mics and shows. And I was like, I'm trying to. And she's like, I'm trying to go to more. But, this web series takes up a lot of my time. Isn't that crazy?
So now you go to every open mic. Like, I'm trying to go to these open mics, but my web series is about to take off.
Yeah, I got this web series. She was just like, yeah, just, you know, I'm really focusing on that. And I was like, all right. She's not that serious. Like, I didn't know what.
So you go to this new club.
So I go watch some stand-up shows at a place called the Comedy Studio. And I went in the first time I go in. Now, it was a stand-up comedy club I think 6 days a week, but one night they had magicians.
Okay.
So this is the first comedy club I've ever been to. So I go in and there's a magician on stage and I'm like, huh? And then by the end of the show, it's been all magicians. So the owner comes up and I was like, oh, you know, this is my first time I've been to a comedy club. He goes, well, you know, this isn't the stand-up comedy night. And I was like, I kind of was putting that together after an hour and a half of not seeing stand-up comedy. And he was like, this is the magician's night.
They should be offended because, you know, magicians.
They're kind of funny.
They tell jokes? Yeah.
Enough so I was kind of like,
ah. Yeah. Do I have to start learning magic?
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you start thinking about what tricks you can do?
When I was watching that, I was pretty confused, but I was like, there's got to be something's going on. They were like, it was pretty joke heavy magicians. And then he was like, you know, here's a packet. If you come to 3 shows here, then you can perform on 1, which is not, that doesn't happen in New York. It was like, just watch 3 shows and then you could perform on a show. Pretty good deal. So I was
like,
I didn't
know that's the thing. So there's people in Boston, the yeah. audience sometimes that are only there so they can perform another day.
At this particular club,
right.
The studio, that's what the policy is. If you come to, I think it's 3 weekday shows, 1 weekend show, he'll put you up on a Wednesday.
So if you're in a comedy club and you could turn to a stranger and say, are you here to like normally watch or do you have to be here? Like,
I bet you could do that at a lot of clubs, especially in New York, mm-hmm. especially. And then they'd be like, I'm here to be on sometime. And you always can feel those motherfuckers in right. the audience just being like, I could do that.
Right. They're not really letting themselves right. go and enjoy.
They're actually the worst.
Right.
That's why I try not to sit right when if I'm watching a show and I like watching comedy, I try not to sit right up front because you don't laugh the way a standard audience would laugh.
Right.
Because you're like looking at, you're like, oh, they said Egg McMuffin. Maybe they should have just said muffin. Or, you know what I mean? You're in your head. Right.
So you're laughing when you can tell they're thinking, that kind of thing.
Exactly. That's, you're not in yeah. tune with what is good for what they're going for.
What were you like in the back in the beginning?
I was more, this is what it was. I remember this distinct point when after I went to that show in Boston, I started going to watch some more shows. And I remember about 4 shows in, because I started seeing some of the same comics, I was like, oh my God, they are working on the same thing. So I didn't realize, which we all know now, like, how does anyone not know that? But stand-up is build in a way to make it seem like you're saying it for the first time. But then that's not the case at all.
I thought that too. I thought that for a while. And I was here in New York. One of my favorite things to do was to watch comedy. And even if you see someone repeat a joke that you saw before, you're like, yeah, in conversation, I repeat myself you know, a subject comes up and it gets threaded in. So it's their opinion. But then you watch it and it's the exact same timing, the exact same words. One word is switched every bizarre. Here and again. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're not just talking to me?
Isn't that a weird, like, do you remember that moment clearly? Because I remember it so well the first time I figured it out.
Yes, I figured I was the worst audience member. mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is like a show, duh.
Right.
Yeah. They're not just messing around on stage and being cool with me. They're not just striking up a conversation in a form of a monologue.
Right.
They took the time, and it made me take comedy more seriously because I really just thought they were charismatic people who gave me their 5 minutes of thoughts of the moment.
I started yelling out punchlines like it was a concert. I don't know.
You did really?
No. Oh. But it is funny when
Emma was ready to go.
Right. When you find them doing the same thing again, it's like, you're not thinking.
Right.
You know, they're like, what's Christmas? Let's talk about
right.
it.
Right. They're really hamming it up. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Or sometimes people will missay a word and then backtrack and then then say it right. But that's mm-hmm. part of their – like I noticed Louis C.K. a lot when I got to be with him for 2 weeks. He did not do anything weird.
Okay.
He was great. Just a consummate professional. Wonderful.
I'm so glad you're the Louis C.K.'s lawyers here.
Yeah, right. Well, people ask me – I got all these messages like, did he jerk off in front of you? And I was like, and no, but I almost wanted to say to people, I was like, but if he had, the way that you just asking is like, right. would be super jarring. You know, like I got a lot of messages just like, did Louis C.K. jerk off in front of you? No, not even in the slightest. He was lovely.
You're right, though. But
that's just my experience. That is no commentary on anything else. I just feel like I need to say that because if I say I was with him for 2 weeks, people are always like,
Does it make you question yourself? Like, is it the way I carry myself? Is it a certain, do I carry myself properly? Do I not carry myself properly?
For him to not want to touch himself?
To not want to.
You don't, oh, I don't know. I think I have no, I know.
Please don't answer that question. please look him in the face and roll your eyes. Thank you.
I think no matter what, I would have to think about it one way or the other.
I think all those instances happened a while ago, too. No, I wouldn't.
I'm telling you I would.
But it's all to say that watching him, he was the master of make it really. There were certain things where I was like convinced it was the first time he was saying it, right. Convinced. And then when I saw him do it again, like it would literally be like the way he would like put something down and go like, humph, and he would do that the same way, and it was mind boggling because right. I was like, that is a calculated thing as part of the show,
and. He's pretty good also at taking out his prick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's calculated too. Anyway.
I remember the
doesn't
very.
Doesn't it suck to not bring up your credentials because your credentials have turned into a monster?
So my touring agent, Tova, sent me a message and she goes, time to take Louis C.K. out of your bio. Right. And I was like, I don't know if I did or not. Whatever. But he was the master at just saying it like it was the first time.
When we have guests on Keith and the Girl, I introduce them with their Louis C.K. bio. I'm like, here's Ted Alexandro, opener for Louis C.K. Very exciting. I remember Louis C.K. He was taking his prick out. And I'm like, it seems like the first time every time, right? But this guy, the way he can stumble and bumble, taking out his dick.
It's such a complicated thing, too, because... At this point now, when someone says something, whatever my personal relationship with the person, it just has nothing to do with someone else's experience. Because I remember it's tough.
Right.
It's a very tricky subject, obviously.
Yeah, who knows what to do with your prick, you know? It's tricky out there. What are the rules?
The rules are, I think, you can only do something with either someone that wants to do it with you, that's your partner, someone you've hired that's okay to do it, or you don't do it. I think those are the rules.
So that's, again.
I think.
Only three, not eight.
Right.
Like some people think. There's
right.
Like three things.
There's not a lot of gray area with consensual stuff. Right. Like, you know, it's like. Yeah.
So when you find out, okay, look, it seems I have to be a magician tonight.
Right. And they can say the same. And I remember, so it was Corey Rodriguez, a comic in Boston. And I remember it was Dick Doherty's Comedy Den. And he was working on a joke. And the part of the joke was that he was like, oh, I was just coming over here and this just happened. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, this is a language. And then I went and signed up for a comedy class. Because I was like, okay, there's this whole thing going on here. This is a thing. Like, right. I didn't know what. But so I signed up for a comedy class at Improv Boston.
You realize there's an art to it.
There's an art to it. So while I signed up for the class, I have started writing things in a notebook. Now, I had not watched enough comedy. I had no idea how to write jokes. But I started writing some jokes. And I remember one of them. It's not a joke. It makes no sense. And I remember getting some friends together. And we were having a dinner party. And I said, I want you guys to get wasted. And I'll tell you my joke. So they're like, all right, well, we're going to get drunk anyway. But I was like, I want you to get so tanked. And they were like, well, I guess, you know, we don't want to get that drunk. I'm like, please get so drunk. Otherwise, I won't do it. So I'm like pouring them drinks. I'm drinking. And they're like, okay, will you do our joke? Like, we kind of want to go home.
Another shot.
So this
around.
Is me forcing myself on people, actually. I remember it's in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. This girl, Clarina Gostopoulos, Dana Bialer, my friend Eli.
Eli relapsed, but I got to tell my joke.
Just one prick. And they were like, all right, tell the joke.
I like that she could name her first audience members, all of them by name.
Yep. And then I couldn't do it. I go, I can't do it. And they were like, are you kidding? I can't do it.
We're driving drunk home for nothing.
So many problems. So I said, I just can't do it. And then so I leave. I walk out. I go, Claire, will you come with me? So she's out. And she's like, what? I'm like, I can't do it. I'm too embarrassed. She's like, let's just say it to me now. And I go, okay. So, you know, I think you can tell where you're at in life based on the URLs you buy. Like my first URL was I have hope. And now it's I hate everything. And she was like, is that your joke? I was like, well, so I'm trying. And she was like, okay, like whatever, Emma, just okay, just go in there and say it. I don't know if they're going to laugh or not. And then I was
I don't know which way it could go. Don't go by me wondering, is there more? Are you thinking a .org? Just go in there with that confidence and say it, and then let's all go home.
And it was like snowing out. We're in the driveway. I made a bigger deal out of it than coming out. Like, it was like just such a thing. So we go back in, and she's like, Emma's going to say her joke now.
This is some opener you have. Ladies and gentlemen, Emma's going to say her joke now.
I actually had totally kind of forgotten about. I don't usually include this when I say the first time I did stand up, but this actually is the first time.
Yeah.
Which, and then I, and a girl named Alicia Dixon was there too, and she loved comedy. So they're all sitting on the couch looking at me like,
right, here we go.
And there was, I remember there was like a, you know, those things in a kitchen where it's like, you can like sit at it and eat.
The island.
So I go behind the island so I can't make eye contact with them. And I'm like,
you're below the island?
Below the island so they can't see me.
Nah.
Yes. Yep. And then I
you
like.
Wait, you really ducked?
Yeah.
They were eating snacks off her head.
They're on the couch on the other side. I can't even imagine what they're thinking at this point. And then I like said my joke and they're like, okay, like that was fun. Like, good job. Like, keep trying. And
that's definitely a start.
Then they went
home. I think specials are usually a half hour, hour, but you're on your way.
Did they clap?
Maybe. I think they clap, but it was probably more out of this is over. Like, they're like, standing it's ovation. Done. So I say my like www dot thing, whatever the hell it was. And then that's it. You know, right. That's it. So I was kind of like, oh, all right. So someone said, you should go to like an open mic, or my friend Eli that was there had a poetry open mic in JP. So he's like, you can come to the poetry open mic and do that.
But make it rhyme.
Right. But make it rhyme.
You could do it anywhere. Nobody knows what it is. Do it at Magic Night.
Whatever you're doing, you know, doesn't, you don't need to define the mic.
But that was magic. Yeah, it was magical.
Yeah. Do it at a bowling alley. Go anywhere.
Poor Claire. It was so dramatic too, like being like, come outside, snowing, cold, like saying it. And you're just like, what? Poor Claire. But then I went to his, this is what I usually say was my first time doing it. So I had a girlfriend at the time, Brooke, and she was super supportive. And we went out to dinner, and I remember we like drank a bunch, and we were drinking a bunch just because we were going to go watch the open mic. And we get it. So we're pretty drunk, and then we go to the open mic, and it's a monthly queer open mic. I don't know why I put that in quotes. Queer. It's like it's super queer. So it's like very friendly.
You're saying in quotes, but it should be underlined.
Underlined. Okay. Yes. Super queer open mic. I go in and Eli's like, hey, someone just pulled out. Someone just canceled. Do you want to take their spot? And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm not ready for this. I'm pretty drunk. And he was like, all right, fine. And then Brooke was like, I think you should just do it. Otherwise, you're going to just talk about this forever. Just try it right now. So
did you have your jokes with you?
I did, but they, I mean, I don't know what they were.
Did you have your underlying jokes with you?
Yes, but man, I can't even imagine what those things were. And then I went up and I told a story and it got some laughs, but it felt really good. And then that was basically the first time I usually count me doing comedy. But then after that, I bombed a bunch of times.
Do you remember any of the lines from your first time? Why they laughed? Like what feeling you had?
I remember specifically the point where it was like a clear laugh. Because the other things would be like murmurs, like of like, But then the first where it was like a laugh. And it was something, I made a motion for my mom not saying the word gay, but communicating it nonverbally for her doing a wiggle. But I had no end to it. But I said, my mom doesn't say the word gay. She just communicates it nonverbally. You know, she's like, is she, And then I ended up changing that into this whole thing about my dad. But I remembered that point because it was like out of 10 minutes at that point, it was a clear laugh point. Mm. And then when I went to the comedy class, they were like,
fuck, my mom's gotta throw her under the bus every time.
Every time.
That's the key.
That's the key because it's easier to contextualize it when it's like a parent. So that's why comics are always like, oh, my friend or my girlfriend or whatever the hell to make it seem
real,
yeah. So then I went to the comedy class, and then that's when I started like actually learning about it. But it's still, I still go back and flip through like comedy writing books because I forget.
Do you like any? Or do you remind yourself not to write like that?
I like The Comedy Bible by Judy Carter. Mm. Have you read that before?
We all have, of course.
It's when I first.
We're so atheist. We won't even read that.
It was, but taking a comedy class was helpful because it was like I learned how to like hold the microphone, and then we got the graduation show, and I liked that.
How'd you do in the graduation show?
That went well. But then.
Who came to your graduation show?
My mom and my stepdad, and they don't like comedy.
Oh, great.
They don't like, my stepdad likes comedy. I don't know how he feels about me doing it. My mom does not like it.
But that's okay because your friends liked it, and that went terrible.
Oh my God.
Maybe
I don't
think it's the opposite.
I don't know the next time any of them have been to a show probably they've never been to a comedy show. I think I ruined stand-up comedy for them. For like, they're like traumatized. They're like, are we going to have to, like, how long are we going to have to be here? How drunk are we going to have to get?
Right.
Are we going to get to see the performer? Are they going to be hiding somewhere?
When somebody on the street says, do you like comedy? They honestly say no.
No, 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 I don't.
No, just buy whatever goddamn website you want and leave me alone.
Right.
What did your parents think of that? What did your mom and stepdad think?
I didn't tell my, well, of that night, the graduation yes. show, they were, my mom was like, you were good. But then she went to a show that was, to this day, so the first show she saw was the graduation show. The second show, now when people first seeing you do stand up, it leaves a strong impression.
Yeah.
The second show she saw to this day was one of the worst shows of my entire life. Mm. It was so bad. I entered a comedy contest. And it was out in Rhode Island. And I didn't even look where in Rhode Island. It was out in this like real rough part of Rhode Island. And my mom drove me to it.
You're already on the road.
This was like the worst. We parked behind a truck that had a huge Confederate flag on it.
Oh.
And my mom, I hadn't, like, we were both like, huh?
So this one wasn't super queer?
This was so not queer. We go in and they're like, okay, performers have to go over there. And I hadn't brought enough people. So like, you also have to still buy the tickets for the people you were supposed to bring. So I'm like, my mom sees me like paying money.
This is some contest.
Not good. It's the sketchiest. It was so sketchy. And I remember the host was on telling a joke about how it's okay. It was okay to, he was saying something that was very racist, I felt. It was very bad. And I was just like shocked. And he was getting laughs. So then I'm mortified. And they made me go away from my mom. And as I'm walking away from her.
They made me go away from my mom.
This big scary guy asked to buy my mom a drink. And I was like, she was probably like, all right. And then I'm like, this is the end of the world. And then I went up bombed. And then when we were driving home, my mom said, I think you need to go to grad school. And
she's so funny.
She was like, she was like, you need to go to grad school. Cause she knew I didn't like my job. My day job, I was working as a recruiter.
Oh, I thought she meant, cause she just went to your graduation. She felt you need to go to comedy grad
school. Oh no. She meant like, you need to go to grad school.
Oh.
Like you need to go back to school. And I went back to school because I felt so bad from taking her to that goddamn show that I ended up applying and going to grad school. Cause like, I just felt so bad about the whole thing.
Can she now understand that you know what you're doing when it comes to comedy, or is that still in her head the way my dad still thinks I poop my pants?
Well, your dad still thinks that, you think?
He thinks I'm a moron because he had to wipe my ass. He thinks I'm
he never
stupid
gets
because
out of his
I
head.
Put grilled cheese in the VHS
right.
machine. You know,
you did that?
I can imagine.
I think she, at this point, her concerns, I really also agree with. She's like, it's hard. Who are these people? What's the best case scenario here? What's the best case scenario? Not good.
Right.
And she's, in a lot of ways, she's right. But also she saw me being like going out, like I'm going to this open mic in New Hampshire. And I would like drive because the open mic in New Hampshire, you got 10 minutes in front of real people. So I would come back.
From where, New Hampshire? From Boston?
I would go to this open mic. I think it was in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
It's like an hour away?
An hour away.
For an open mic. How many minutes do you get to perform?
I think it was either like 10 or 15 minutes, which when you're first starting out, that's like you
torture
never get
for everybody
that.
Else.
Torture. Torture.
Just somebody who doesn't know how to speak about anything. I'm going to talk to you for 15 minutes.
15 minutes. That's a long time.
It's very long.
That's a really, really long time.
How many people are up? Three?
No, the mic would go on a long time.
Wow.
And I don't know, you know, what would make the bar do this to their poor patrons, but it was also like musicians would be there. In the beginning, I'll try to go to musician mics. So there'd be like a mix of comedians, but it's just such a bizarre, I feel like there's no way when you're starting out to know how crazy it is because you just have no idea. There's no way to like process like the journey of what it all like where it leads.
Do you have any advice for somebody who's gonna start, like who's about to say their opening line?
You know, one, don't drink, because I think because I drank so, and I don't, maybe I'm making an excuse, but I think because I drank the very first time I did it, I would associate stand-up with drinking. So I would get used to drinking when I would do stand-up comedy, and that's a very, very bad association.
Isn't that funny though? Even though you didn't like the way you performed at first, it's still associated.
I like drinking, yeah.
Yeah.
And it made me like comfortable, and it's not, you know, you are doing, it's your public speaking. So if you weren't going to drink before a debate, or if you weren't going to drink before a speech you're doing during the day, don't drink before when you're going to go do it at night, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I could go back and give myself any advice, I'd be like, don't drink. And also, my main advice is this. Mm-hmm. I've thought about this. Here's my main advice. This is going to sound like, but I'm going to try to bring it around. Okay. The main advice is
you have 10 to 15 minutes.
This is a better intro than what your friend gave you at dinner. I'm going to lose you, okay? But I'm going to try to bring it around. Here we go.
It's that it's not, don't do it. It's not going to work out. There's no reason for you in it. And now go prove me wrong.
Very hopeful.
Because prove me wrong. If your gut reaction when you hear me say that is, fuck you, I'll show you, then I feel like, then this is what you're supposed to do. But if you are like, oh, sounds hard, then go save yourself. Don't, you know, it's really hard. And it's a hard schedule. It's hard to make money. Everything about it's really hard.
Your parents won't respect you.
Your parents won't respect you. So, I mean, I know some comedians' parents who do think it's a good idea, but I completely.
Yeah, you could think of all their names right now.
Right.
In the span of 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not that many.
There's not that many for a reason. Yeah. I get it. Like, my sister just had a baby. If she said she wanted to be a comedian, oh, woe is me. I would be
aunt, you'd be disgusted.
I would be. I mean, I feel like it's like her saying she'd be a stripper. I really do.
You just bless yourself.
I really do. Not that there's no judge. No, if it's not my niece, no judgments on anyone that. But I feel like it's a similar thing.
If you're not in my family and I don't know you, strip. I mean, I don't want to confuse the situation.
I think she's talking about the hours, the lack of respect.
Anytime you're needing, you know, outside validation to the point that you need for those two things. Mm. Risky. You know, it's very dangerous.
It's a job where you're making people like you, at least for the moments that you're working.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In both stripping and comedy.
Yes. Yeah. And there's so much. And then
I know Emma doesn't hate strippers because that's who she dates.
Did for a while. Yeah.
Oh, not right now.
No. Let me tell you something. They are not all in med school, because the two I dated, I do believe one of them was going to med school. I do think the other one was lying to me.
Is that the takeaway here?
Yeah. Okay. That's my other advice. They're very good because they know how to get you into the champagne room. So then they know how to like tell you what you need to hear.
They're good at their jobs, you're saying? I see.
Yeah. But okay. I really do believe that
comedians repeat their jokes, you're saying?
I see. And they definitely repeat their
what? Oh, yeah. Oh, you're not special? Emma still thinks that she's like the most special person at the club.
I like the way these strippers are like psychologists. They know what I want to hear. It's that I'm hot.
They're
horny for it. Like, they know me. Are they reading my diary?
I thought maybe I was different, but I don't know.
I didn't mean to tell you what. Like, what? Was I there?
They're really good.
You are special, though.
Thanks, appreciate it. Yes. But I didn't meet them at the strip club, but I guess they can still turn that on, apparently. I mean, look.
How can they do it? I mean, I didn't like that they took their work home with them, but I did appreciate I was hot and they were horny for me.
You are. This is the sweetest face I've ever seen on Emma. This is
so brutal.
Going back real quick, when you would do school government, were you drinking then?
No.
Okay.
That's a really good point.
No, it's not. You were a teenager.
I was a teenager and I did it in college. So with the stand-up though, it was more, I was just like, oh, I'm at a bar. I'm going to drink. Because it used to be, oh, I'm at a bar. I'm out with friends. I'm drinking.
It's also like the culture of stand-up is very drinking. They pay you in drink tickets.
Yeah, you perform, you get a drink. You get 2 drinks.
And the way that you connect with other people is let's go out for a drink. But I guess that's the same. Like you see a lot of businessmen in strip clubs, or at least you used to, making deals.
Absolutely. And it's like, don't get it twisted. If you're trying to really do it, you need to use all aspects of your brain. So treat it like a job as soon as you can.
That's right. And as we learned, how many branches of government?
3.
Right. And
is
they,
that right?
Yes. And they are?
Legislative, executive, Obama.
Judicial. He was an attorney. I will count that.
Oh, yay.
Emma Willman, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. So interesting to think about the first time you do it. Because some comedians, when you saw, I'll say, when did you start doing comedy? And it's such a different thing for everybody, I think. Because it's like, thank you. It's an interesting thing to think about.
I think that we're going to record also a Keith and the Girl episode with you. And for that one, you get to test Keith on something. So start thinking about, you know, like something having to do with numbers and
I
him
really
having to name it.
Appreciate that you think I know something. that I could then be like, you're wrong or you're right on.
We'll give you a minute with your phone.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
I don't debate, but I do say my answers with a straight face.
That's a big part of it.
That could throw you. Thank you guys very much for listening. Thanks for spreading the word, and we'll talk to you soon. And now the closing theme song. What you just heard was my opening line. Please subscribe and tell your friends. Go to myopeningline.com. Let's say Seinfeld was on an island and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you fuck